The subject this evening is entitled, The Man Who Would Not Be Silenced. And we're going to read about that man in Mark chapter 10. And we'll begin our reading at the verse 46. The verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. The boys and girls will know that they have been often told, I'm sure, at home, keep quiet. And it's very proper that they do thus keep quiet, for they probably were making too much noise. But there comes a time when, and there is an occasion when we ought not to be quiet, no matter who tells us to be quiet. A very special occasion. And we're going to read about it tonight. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, B-A-R at the beginning of his name means son of Timaeus, blind son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, it would have been a filthy old thing. He knew it would have been a filthy old thing. It couldn't be anything other than a filthy old thing. Because he was blind. And he couldn't see to remove the dirt and the stains. So he knew that because he couldn't take care of it, it must be really filthy. And he was ashamed of this old garment. And he throws it away. And rose. And came to Jesus. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Did Jesus not know what this man needed? Oh, yes, he did. But he wanted to hear the man tell him what it was he wanted wrought upon him, what he wanted done to him. The Lord wants to know if you know what it is that's wrong with you. So he asks the man, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. May the Lord bless this reading from his precious word. If we look closely at the information given us here concerning Bartimaeus, we will, I believe, see a likeness to ourselves in this man. That may seem incredible to many, but nevertheless, I assure you it's true. And if you can't see your likeness to him, it only proves your likeness to him. because you too are blind. All mankind by nature are afflicted with the twin evils of blindness and poverty. All of us. We might live in luxury, but we dwell in poverty. And we dwell in blindness. Spiritually, we are blind. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 3, and it's the verse 3, so that's easily remembered, said this to a Pharisee who was very well learned but spiritually blind. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Now he went on to say other things. Cannot see the kingdom of God. But it's important for us to notice that he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Cannot see spiritual things. Cannot understand, cannot comprehend spiritual things. A blind man cannot see the beauty of the countryside, the activities that are going on around him. You could silently creep up on a blind man and he wouldn't see you. Just like the devil creeps up on men and they don't see him. Just like sin creeps up on men and they don't see it. A blind man may pass down a path toward the edge of a cliff. Because he cannot see it, he feels no danger. No danger at all. If you were going, you'd see the edge of the cliff and you'd stop, you'd draw back, you'd be frightened. But the blind man can't see it, so he would just go on to his ruin and destruction. And sinners go on down the road and follow over the edge into hell. Because they can't see hell. They can't see the danger. So we do suffer from blindness. Paul the Apostle, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the verse 4, there's another double number that's easily remembered. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse 4. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel shining on blind minds makes no impression. That's what man is by nature. Man cannot see himself. He cannot see his sin. And he certainly cannot see the Savior. Oh, how blind man is to spiritual things. Now, blindness, maybe not so much today, but certainly in times past, was associated with poverty. Blindness induced poverty. If you are blind, you can't work. You can't earn money. You can't buy what you need. That's why this man was a beggar. Because he was blind. That's the only thing he could do. Go out and beg, hoping that some would take pity on him. Now we are poor as a result of our spiritual blindness. We have great debts. That's why the Lord taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 12, forgive us our debts. That's what sin is. That's another name for sin. Debts. Every time you sin, you increase your debt with God. Your poverty increases as a result of sin. Only the grace of God can deliver us from this dreadful plight of being blind and consequently being poverty stricken. Do you not see then a likeness of yourself in Bartimaeus. Now the blind man is aroused by the noise of a passing multitude. Those ears of the blind man, you know, could tell a lot. He could tell when a man passed on a horse, just by the sound. He could tell when a man passed on a donkey, because there's a different sound to the trotting of a donkey than there is to the trotting of a horse. He could tell a man passing on foot by the sound. He probably could distinguish between a man and a woman passing. The different sound. Maybe even because the ladies sometimes wear perfumes, and they did wear perfumes, sweet-smelling oils. Maybe he would catch that on the breeze and know it was a lady was passing. Maybe the smelly oxters of the man going by let him know just what it was that was going by. I don't know. I'm sure there weren't too many spray-on deodorants about in those days. But oh, he could learn quite a bit through hearing and smell as to what was happening. And this day, he heard a multitude. Why, the sound of all the feet would tell him. This was a great crowd. And the sound, too, of the chattering of the crowd would tell him that it was a crowd. And he could even tell something of the spirit of the crowd, the attitude of the crowd, because they would have been excitedly talking one to another, not a low little murmur of casual conversation, but there would have been an excited exchange between them because they were following the Lord Jesus. They were in the company of Christ. They had seen him work so many wonderful miracles, and they were recounting these, and they were all excited and agitated. And the blind man could have picked up that as he listened. He probably asked, "What's happening? What's happening?" I think that that's implied in the verse 47. And when he heard, he asked, you see, and somebody answered, maybe many answered, that Jesus of Nazareth was passing. As soon as he heard that, he began to shout. He began to shout. Look at what he shouted. Verse 47 again, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Hearing the news that Jesus of Nazareth was passing, he began to shout to him. Our text is the verse 48. And here you'll see where I get my title. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." They couldn't keep him quiet. He was determined to be heard. And I want to speak about this fact this evening here in the Gospel. As I say, some try to stifle his cries, shame him into silence. But he called out all the more. He cried out all the more. Let's learn from this. Let's learn, first of all, that Bartimaeus was aroused to cry because of his own circumstances. That's what made him cry. You see, he was a poor blind man. in poverty with no hope of things ever getting any better. In fact, it could only get worse as he would get older. His health would begin to fail. He faced the prospect of a most miserable death with none to care for him. And he desired to be delivered from his blindness. Oh, what a heavy weight that was upon him. Why should he care about the concerns of those who wanted him to keep quiet? They thought he was speaking out of turn. Or perhaps they thought, the Lord doesn't want to have anything to do with you, a dirty old unwashed beggar. Keep quiet. Why should he be worried about them and their concerns? He was a blind beggar. And he was going to cry out in the midst of his needs. He recognized that such a deliverance as he was seeking would be a great mercy. Isn't that what he said? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He appealed to Christ for mercy. He didn't say, Jesus, thou son of David, heal my blindness. Restore my sight. He didn't say that. He said, have mercy on me. He advertised the fact that he believed that his healing would be a great mercy from God. And he wanted to own that. And clearly indicate that he recognized that. He wasn't like so many today who might well have shouted out, I have a right to have my sight restored. Most people today think they have rights to all the problems being solved in their lives. They have a right to it. It's not a mercy. I have a right to it. But this man had a greater understanding of himself and of the ways of God. And he recognized that it was a mercy he was seeking. He had no right to his sight. He couldn't quarrel with the great Creator or with the providence that caused him to be a blind man. He wasn't quarreling with God. He wasn't saying, you shouldn't have made me like this. I have a right to be like other people and see. No. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. I can't quarrel with my condition. Have mercy upon me. There's none of us can quarrel with our conditions, men and women, because we're sinners. And as sinners, we're subject to all the miseries of this life because of our sins. If we have ill health, that's part of the lot of being the son or the daughter of Adam. He threw away our health by his sin. And death came upon all mankind. This blindness was but an evidence of the workings of death. His eyes were dead. And he knew that one day all of his being would be subject to that same dark power. And it was because of sin. Therefore he didn't say, I have a right. But they said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Furthermore, he cried out with such fervency because he knew that such a deliverance as he was seeking would have a mighty impact on his life. This one mercy that he desired God to grant him would have such an impact on his life. I suppose the impact of God's mercy on the sinner is perhaps nowhere better illustrated than in the case of a blind person. The moment he received his sight, everything changed. He no longer needed to be a beggar. He could now work. He could now work. What independence he immediately stepped into now that he could see. He didn't need someone to lead him by the hand. He could walk on his own. He could go now where he liked. The world was before him to be explored. If God granted him this one mercy. We read in verse 52, the last verse of the chapter, Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Go your way. Pick your path. You're a free person now. You can do what you like. Now you can see. Do you see what he did? Go your way. He followed Jesus. Because Jesus was his way. He had eyes to see. And oh, there was so much to see. But he had no desire to see anything other than following Christ and gazing on him. This man cried out, couldn't be stopped, couldn't be silenced, because of the circumstances in which he was, he wanted delivered from. And notice something else. He was aroused to cry, and wasn't going to be stopped from crying, because of the opportunity that was graciously granted to him. I wonder how many crowds old blind Bartimaeus had heard. He had heard crowds of soldiers tramp past him. He wouldn't have cried out to them. He would hope they would go past without causing him any problems, taunting him, mocking him, abusing him. He heard many a crowd of pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. He might have exchanged some words with them. But none of the crowds that ever passed him would have caused such excitement to him as this crowd. Because right in the center of this crowd was Jesus. And look at what it says. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. You know, that man recognized, I have a glorious opportunity. The Lord Jesus did not pass that way very often. At the most, once or twice, three times. Your chances of meeting with Christ are exceedingly limited. You bear that in mind. You bear that in mind. He began to cry out when he heard that it was Jesus. He began to cry out, you see, because he knew he had only a very limited opportunity. The word passeth is found in Luke chapter 18 and the verse 37 where this same story is told. We read there, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Even while we're telling you this, he's passing by. Every step he takes carries him away from you. He didn't then say, I wonder, could I shout on him? I wonder, would he listen? Oh, no, he mightn't. He'd maybe too busy. What do you think? Should I call? None of that. None of that. But immediately he heard who it was. He began to shout out. Every second that went past was carrying Christ away from him. Carrying away all that his heart desired. So he had to cry. The opportunity was limited. He cried because this was a most glorious opportunity. He saw immediately the potential of this moment. The name Jesus meant something to this man. He didn't have to say to the crowd, who's he? What's he? What's so special about him? There's a crowd around him. He knew who Jesus was. I said that a blind man is limited in the information he can gather because of his blindness. He doesn't see anything, but he hears much. And I suppose a person who's blind lives to hear. He lives to gather information from the lips of others. He'd almost be like the bee that flits from flower to flower, gathering what it needs. And this man would try to gather from everybody that passed something, some information about what was going on around him. And I have no doubt that the Lord Jesus, whose ministry was being talked about from one end of the country to the other, would have been reported upon by people passing this poor blind man. People who had gone up to Jerusalem. Maybe there had seen the Savior. Or were coming from some other area of the countryside and would have seen or at least heard. Maybe even talked to those who had been healed by the Savior. And they would have been ready to talk to the old blind beggar and tell him, do you know what I heard when I was over there in Galilee? Do you know what I seen? Can't you see that scene taking place? Of course it did. That's why he recognized the name of Jesus and realized, I have a most glorious opportunity. I could never get to Galilee. I couldn't get to Jerusalem. I could never seek out this Jesus of Nazareth. But God in mercy has brought him right past me. What an opportunity. No wonder he shouted out. No wonder he shouted out. I think he cried loudly because he was opposed. There would have been those who, by their shushing and hushing, would have tried to drown out his cries. And so rob him of this glorious opportunity. And he, therefore, would drown out their shushing and hushing by crying out all the louder. He wasn't going to be robbed. This blind man knew what it was like to be ignored. How many people, he had said, "Can you spare a little money? I'm a blind beggar." And he would hold the hand out as he listened to the sound of the footsteps going past, and the person wouldn't say a word to him. No response. He was used to being ignored. But he wasn't going to be ignored that day, nor was anybody going to stop him being heard that day. You know, it's funny what it was they were asking this man. Verse 48, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace." The Greek word there literally means to be calm and tranquil, like an ocean at rest, where the surface is not disturbed by the wind or by the waves or anything like that. Just tranquil. That's what they were asking him to do. "Oh, settle down, be quiet, shh, hush, go to sleep," as it were. Be tranquil. That's the lullaby the devil sings to every troubled soul. Some of you tonight are like a tranquil sea. The devil has hushed you to sleep, and you're not in the least agitated by the fact that you're blind and perishing, and that the only opportunity of getting saved is passing you by. The devil has you hushed. Oh, how good he is at that. What a sweet lullaby he sings. God have mercy on you and rouse you up, so that no matter who it is that would speak against you and try to quiet you, for you can have people who are not even in this meeting, nevertheless working to keep you quiet. They're not here at all, but they'll work to keep you quiet, because you'll think, "Oh, what will so-and-so say if I were to get saved?" And the very thought of that person keeps you quiet. And they're not even here. Many, many, many years ago, a lady by the name of Mrs. Smith gave a testimony. I remember her well. And she talked about going to a meeting in a church. Oh, now we're talking way back in the early 50s. Maybe in the 40s. And she told how at the end of a meeting, there was an invitation set forth. Those who are troubled and anxious in their souls to come to Christ, and maybe they would stand up. And she stood up because she was deeply troubled. She wanted to be saved. But you know, just by standing up, she had a new view of the people around her, and she spotted someone just a couple of rows in front of her that she knew very well. And the devil said to her, "What will she say if you tonight go out and say, 'I'm not saved, I need to be saved, and I'm getting saved tonight'?" And Mrs. Smith said, I just sat down again. Just the sight of someone, the back of someone. They didn't say anything. They hadn't even seen her. But they had silenced her. Just like these people were desirous of silencing old Bartimaeus. But bless God, Bartimaeus wasn't going to be silenced. God send us a day when there's an outshouting of the devil. When there's a wrestling through all opposition, mounted by hell, against the sinner coming to Christ. And that sinners break through to the feet of the Redeemer. Oh, this is what the devil wants to do with you tonight. He wants you to keep quiet. Let Jesus just pass on by. Let me say in closing, that Bartimaeus was aroused to cry by the knowledge of the one who was passing. I've already indicated to you that he recognized that there was a wonderful opportunity presented to him, for Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. But you know, I want you to see that the knowledge that Bartimaeus had of the person who was passing him by was extensive. In fact, he had more knowledge than the people who were keeping company with Christ. Look at what it says. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, that's what he was told. Who's there? What's happening? Jesus of Nazareth. That's the common name the Savior had amongst men. Jesus of Nazareth. But look at what Bartimaeus called the Savior. He didn't repeat the title that the crowd gave him, but rather he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know something? That blind man sitting by the highway side had accumulated a knowledge concerning Jesus, had dwelt upon it, meditated upon it, thought upon it, and by the grace of God had come to realize who Jesus was. He wasn't just Jesus who came from Nazareth. He was Jesus who had come from heaven. He was Jesus, the Son of David. That's a royal title. That's a title of the Messiah. He might as well have said, Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Christ. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. This blind man knew more about Jesus than did the people who had eyesight and who had the privilege of accompanying Christ. You see, knowledge of the Lord doesn't come from attending meetings. Knowledge of the Lord is a gift from God. It's the result of the workings of God's grace in the heart. Judas Iscariot has attended many meetings, seen many wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. Seen more than you and I will ever see during this life. But he didn't know who Jesus was. Or he would never have acted as he did. Furthermore, Bartimaeus believed in the mercy of Christ. That's why he had cried out for mercy. Have mercy on me. He had heard of Christ's mercy. He had heard of Christ's mercy to the lame, to the halt, and to the blind. He had heard how the Lord had mercy on poor creatures just like him. And so he cried for mercy. He cried to the fountain of mercy. He would partake of that mercy that comes from God and is channeled through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Have mercy on me, he says. The mercy of Christ is what every miracle that Christ ever wrought testifies to. They were all done out of mercy. It's obvious he believed in the power of the Lord Jesus because of what it was he asked. He didn't say, "Lord, it's too much to ask you to give me sight. That's beyond you, I know. It's unheard of. Maybe if you could give me a little money that would see me through my life and some degree of comfort, that's what I ask for." He didn't ask that. He asked that which was to man impossible. "Give me my sight. Give me my sight." "What is it you want done?" the Lord says, "that I might receive my sight." You know, giving sight to the blind is a power possessed by the Messiah alone. If you turn to Matthew chapter 11, you have the Savior answering a question sent to him by the disciples of John. They were asking a simple question of the Savior. Matthew chapter 11. Let's read from verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Maybe being in prison had its impact upon poor John, and he was beginning to wonder. And he was sort of saying, "Please, just confirm to me that you're the Christ, or are we to look still for someone to come?" Jesus answered and said unto them, unto the messengers, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see." What's the first thing they were to report? The blind receive their sight. That's what I'm doing. And when John hears the things that I'm doing, he'll know I'm the Christ. The giving of sight to the blind was a chief mark of Christ's messiahship. In Psalm 146 and the verse 8 we read, "The Lord," that is Jehovah, "openeth the eyes of the blind." No one else can. And that old blind man, who knew so little about what was going on around him, but who knew that Jesus was the Christ, bowed before him and said, "Lord, give me my sight, please." And the Savior gave him his sight. I believe Bartimaeus was saved. I believe that he had been saved while he was a blind beggar. That's why he had the faith that he did. And when he received his sight, he followed Jesus. But in the receiving of a sight, there is a wonderful illustration of the work of grace you need if you're not saved. You need your eyes opened to behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. You need your eyes opened to see Christ, because He would have been the first one that Bartimaeus saw. Can't you see the scene? The poor old filthy beggar standing before the Savior with sightless eyes. The Savior speaking the word, his sight received, and the first person he saw was Jesus. You need God to open your eyes and show you Jesus. And if He does, you'll follow Him and no one else. Oh, tonight, don't miss your opportunity. Jesus is passing by. Cry out on God for saving mercy. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, another Sabbath evening service draws to a close. We thank Thee for the visit that we have had to the roadside there, on that road out of Jericho. Thou hast enabled us, Lord, in spirit, to visit the scene of that wonderful miracle, to hear that man crying, and to understand something of the workings of grace in his heart and life. Above all, we have seen the love and the mercy of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that there is a cry that will stop Jesus walking. It's the cry of the repentant, believing sinner. God, work that grace tonight. Lord, may sinners cry on Thee and be saved. Oh, answer prayer, we ask of Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.